oh, the critic. You know, at a certain point, you have to just believe in yourself.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Remote No Pressure Podcast. We have an exciting midweek episode this week with Karen Miller. We actually interviewed her live on Facebook. It was the first time we did a Facebook Live interview, and the response was so good. I was like, you know what? We just need to get this out there so all of her fans and all the fans of R&P can check out what it's like. And subscribe to our Facebook page, and you too can see some more live interviews that we're going to do here coming up. It was a lot of fun. Hey, guys, welcome to the podcast. Let's light the fire. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Remote No Pressure Podcast. We're so excited that you're here with us. And we're also very excited. It's our first time to do a live Facebook interview. And we have none other than Karen Miller herself. Thank you very much for joining us today, Karen.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited that you're here with us. I read your bio. I read what you're all about. And I've been looking forward to this interview. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, it's, just having a blast and, that's what it's all about, right? Having fun.
Heck yeah. That's what it's all about. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, you're a native Floridian and you grew up, did you grow up in Florida then? It looks like you kind of, according to your bio, you moved all over the place.
Well, my father lived on a boat. So, from about the time I was, 3 or 4, and, up until the point, it just was not safe for him to live on a boat any longer, about 80. Wow. And so we would travel around with him in the summers and, things like that. And, I just grew up on the water and I'm passionate about it. And, he wasn't a real big angler or fisherman. It was about spear fishing more than anything else. But the water just became part of me.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, you discovered fly fishing in 2001, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How did you find fly fishing, Karen?
Well, I moved to Colorado, and as a South Florida Bahamas beach girl, it was a little bit of a shell shock for many reasons. It was just kind of survival, I think. Needed to be outdoors and started hiking and camping and all those things. And my then husband was into fly fishing, and it was one of those things that I kind of did out of obligation. I wasn't really in love with it. There was just so much to learn, and I never did it enough to keep all the knots and the setups in long-term memory, and the same thing with the cast. And, I was a little older then and was a parent and, didn't have 6 hours to commit to the river. So by accident, sort of, I got into a 10 car rod, and it just kind of struck me like lightning. This is back 2009, 2010, when the method was just coming over, had just been introduced here to the States, and literally I was like, wow, why didn't I get introduced to this first? And that was when I just really started falling in love with fishing and being on the water, because it kind of simplified it. And I have what I call is monkey mind. I get distracted by shiny objects and things, so it was really hard for me to to stand in one spot and cast and, like I said, 20 minutes to set up the line. And by then I was already, on to the next thing. So Tenkar really provided me with kind of immediate gratification, you know?
Sure, sure. Now, can you tell our listeners, because I'm not fully aware of the difference between regular fly fishing and Tenkara?
Well, the biggest and most apparent difference is there's no reel. So it is a fixed line method of fly fishing. Tenkara rods are traditionally very long and flexible, and they telescope down, so they're highly transportable. On average, a 12-foot rod collapses down to about 20 inches and weighs about anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 ounces. And you're attaching the line directly to the end of the rod on a cord that is called the Lillian. And you're tying it on and you're casting. So the concept of traditional Tenkara fishing is long line and a short, tight line.
So let me ask you this question, Karen. And I don't mean to cut you off there, but I just want to ask you this question. So you're a female angler, so in a very male dominated sport but we're seeing some changes, you know, but it's kind of this new thing, you know. It's like, all right, we've got a lot more female anglers and we're super excited about it and we're seeing that. But not only that, but you're also pretty much introducing an entirely new way of fishing as well. So, I mean, you're like new on two fronts, Karen. That's awesome.
Well, the really crazy part is, too, is that I'm really pushing the boundaries of Tenkara. So it is traditionally a small fish, small water, you know, small stream method of fishing. You know, so when you think of a big fish on Tenkara, you're talking 20 inches, you know, a 20-inch trout.
Okay.
I'm pushing the limits and landing shark and tarpon and bonefish and sockeye salmon and chums. And I'm hoping to do a golden Dorado here next fall, this coming fall, winter. So really doing some crazy things. And so that makes me a little bit more badass.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, here's the thing. Here's my question for you, because, like, okay, you're pushing the boundaries of the industry. You're pushing the boundaries of fly fishing, of Tenkara. What is it inside of you? What is it that's pushing you? What is it that's making you want to push the boundaries of Tenkara? What is it that's pushing you to catch a golden Dorado and what's driving you, Karen? What do you think it is that drives you as a person, as a human being?
An addiction to adrenaline. That's probably the really short and most direct. I'm an adrenaline junkie.
Are you? What's the craziest thing you've ever done for adrenaline? And we are live, so careful. No.
Well, I'm not sure I can go there, but no. As far as fishing, I would definitely say standing on the bow of a flats boat in a channel that's about 15 feet deep in the Florida Keys in highly chummed waters with sharks coming in that were anywhere from 8 to 15 feet long.
Wow.
And actually having the nerve to cast my line at that particular moment.
So when was like the first big hookup that you're like, wow, because a lot of people see fly fishing, if they don't fly fish, they may see as like, you know, an older man sport, or like, you know, my grandpa that wears tweed jackets and smokes a pipe, you know. No offense, John Osborne, I know you're out there. He's a guy that we've had on the podcast that loves to smoke cigars and do it the old traditional way, but he's like my age, so it's kind of funny. But you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a traditional thing. You know, when was the last time that you're like, holy crap, I could get an adrenaline rush off of the sport? Do you remember that time?
Well, I mean, I think that's the really fantastic thing about Tenkara is that these rods are so sensitive. The way they are manufactured and designed, that the connection you have to the fish, when you don't have a reel and you don't have guides, and you have this 3-ounce, you know, rod in your hand, it's just so dynamic and electrifying. Even you know, an 8-inch brook trout feels really exciting on the end of a Tenkara rod. When you go for something bigger, I mean, when I was in Alaska fishing, and I'm going back again in June, we're putting a trip together and bringing people up to kind of teach the method. There was this one particular salmon, and this thing was huge. I felt like I had a tank on the end of the line. And I worked so closely with the guide, and every time that fish tried to throw the hook or turn or getting ready to run, I could feel that difference. Wow. On the line and on the rod, and I could anticipate what he was going to do. And that was when I just, we landed that fish. It was bigger than anything I ever imagined. The rod held up well. At no point did I ever feel like I was going to break the rod. And literally, when we were done, I was shaking. My whole body was Wow. just trembling. I was so excited. My heart was just pounding through my chest. And the same thing with the guide, so was he. And it was just this amazing, magical moment where, it was such an honor to land that fish and be so directly connected to it.
Yeah, I'm not going to put you on the spot, Karen, but I don't know if you've listened to any of our past podcasts, but we're all about the philosophy of fly fishing and the organic and the basically just treating life with fly fishing. And it sounds to me like you have more with the Tenkara rod, you have a little bit more of that organic touch with the fish. It seems like you're more in touch than a lot of traditional fly rod anglers. Am I right with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you just feel everything. It transfers up that rod so directly. It's so light. It feels like an extension of your own arm. And, you know, the power that some of these rods have are just incredible. You know, I have a friend who is with Pig Farm, the film company, and he tried Tenkara for the first time, used one of our rods, and he came back, and I'll never forget, he said, "God, it was the closest thing you could get to being in a fist fight with a fish."
Wow, that sounds like that's awesome.
You know, and you know, like, no harm. You always want to release the fish in good condition. I'll never fight a fish, you know, to the point that I'm compromising it. But it's just that raw. There's no other way to explain it until you actually experience it and feel the connection and be able to feel every movement that the fish makes. And you know, and when you land it without the use of a tool, you know, of a mechanism, I mean, it's just such an exhilarating moment. It just feels so good, whether it's, you know, a 6 inches or whether it's, you know, 36 inches.
Wow. So what made you decide? I mean, there's a lot of people, I should say, that feel in touch with nature. They, you know, they love fly fishing. They, you know, they may even love using a Tenkara rod, but they're not going to make it about their life. You know, I mean, this is your bread and butter. This is your business. This is what you do. Can you tell us about that transition from not owning Tenkara rods to currently owning the company that you have and why you decided to start the company?
It was truly when I fished it, it was such an aha moment. I think it really allowed me to get back to my element of the water. Mm-hmm. In a place where, you know, I had no access to ocean, and I really developed a whole new passion for rivers and streams that, you know, I had never experienced. I was on the ocean, totally different kinds of water. When I had first relocated to Colorado, you know, I just really felt landlocked and like I was missing something. And so I think, you know, through fly fishing and then Tenkara, I found my place again. And, you know, as I said, I kind of suffer from monkey mind. So I'm, you know, I probably do more by 5 o'clock in the morning than the average person does all day. You know, which can be a good thing and a bad thing.
Sure, sure.
But but when I got out on the river, you know, I had no cell service, and I was really focusing on my presentation. And, you know, Tenkara is a more active method of fly fishing because you have a limited reach. You know, you have a fixed line. You have to move, you know, so you are moving and dissecting waters and rivers more. And so, you know, you're kind of hiking up a stream or downstream and climbing over rocks and constantly moving, but all the time, you know, you're reading the water and you're focusing on your fly and what you're doing with it. And when you have these long rods, that are so light and sensitive, a very small, delicate movement of your hand on the handle transfers up this rod, you know, this 12-foot rod, into something much more substantial at the other end. I mean, it's that whole, you know, lever effect. So what you can do with a fly as far as presentation is just phenomenal on Tenkara rods. And so it allowed me to just simply be in the moment, clear my mind, and, you know, I practiced, still practice tons of yoga. And so it was sort of like my on the water meditation, you know. It was kind of allowed me to quiet my brain, just slow down and, just appreciate what I was doing at that very, you know, at that very moment, at that very time. And you just don't get that very much in today's world. So I fell in love with it. And at the time, there was only one other company, company that actually brought the method over here from Japan. And it was just like, wow, this is so great. It's so intrinsic to learn. And it also is much less expensive to get into. You know, the average Tenkara setup is, you know, about $200 for a high quality rod that, you know, that you're not going to want to graduate up from. And that's, you know, I mean, that's unheard of in the fly fishing community. So I think it was kind of a time when women were starting to get into fly fishing. I think it was a method that just seemed like a natural fit, and it it opened the door to a lot of people that previously had not been able to afford to explore the sport. I also think because it slimmed down as far as you know, the setup and the knots and all the things that you need to know. So it's very user friendly and very approachable. So it just, I think, was something I saw that would bring a lot more people into it and allow them to enjoy the same type of experiences that it allowed me to.
Now, on the traditional line, you know, you have your tapered leader, you know, and then you've got your tippet and your floating line and all that. With Tinkara, is it just one line or is it the same type of setup?
Well, I'll say, you know, Zen Tinkara is, even though our name is Zen, we're probably almost the opposite of that in that we're really just doing crazy things, and but I think it's Zen in that we're very in the moment.
Right.
So it's a method that has been fished with a lot of tradition around it, but that tradition stemmed from the types of water that these Japanese anglers had access to. You know, they were small mountain streams. And so they didn't need to cast long lines. I think what really sets me and, you know, Zen apart is that we're taking this method and saying, yeah, great, it works really well here. This is where it excels. But I wonder how it will do on bonefish. You know, I wonder how it will work on steelhead. I wonder if we can land king salmon, you know, and what we're finding through, you know, all our adventures and experimenting and just really pushing the limit is that, you know, you can do all kinds of things. You know, when I was in Ascension Bay going after bonefish, I didn't use a traditional Tinkara line that I would use up in Rocky Mountain National Park, you know, fishing for trout. I was out needing to get, you know, 50 or 60 feet out, and I'm in salt water. So I chopped up a salt water weight forward shooting line and tied on an 8-weight saltwater shooting line onto my Tinkara rod, and then I put a, you know, a bonefish, 9-foot bonefish leader onto that, and you know, and then Maxima, and we landed bonefish, no problem. When I was in Alaska fishing for sockeye, you know, they when they come pumping up the rivers, they're relatively close to the bank, so you don't have to cast far. But when they take off, it's like a bullet, you know.
Wow.
So you just better hold on. So I had a 13-foot rod, and I chopped up 10 feet weight intermediate sinking line, and then tied on 40-pound Maxima for my tippet.
So,
and I was eating sockeye salmon for dinner tonight.
You know, it's so funny is you just do whatever you want to do, Karen. And that's what I love about you. It's like, so what? This is the traditional way. Karen Miller's going to do it her way, and it's effective. And
it's so effective.
Yeah. Let me ask, you mentioned, you were previously married to a guy who introduced you to fly fishing. You have a son. You know, I know you're like only 22 years old, but I'm not going to ask your age. I'm just going to assume that. But let me ask you this question. So here you are, Karen. I mean, you have some life behind you, okay? You have some education, right, that you can only get by living. How important is it to not care about the critics?
Oh, the critics can rip you to shreds. And the funny thing is that the critics often, will tell you, you can't do this and it won't work. And often are the biggest naysayers.
Right.
And it took me a while to finally decide to do what I wanted to do and to make the kind of rods I wanted to make, because the first couple of years of the business, I just listened to everybody else. And I think too, I questioned myself, especially as a, as a female in the industry, I didn't get a lot of people listening to me and what I was trying to do with a method that wasn't well accepted. I got laughed at and
sure.
So, at a certain point, you have to just believe in yourself and you have to be passionate about what you're doing. And really, bottom line, I always say is, am I having fun? Is this fun? And if it's fun, then, that's really what it's all about. I think, a lot of people get really serious about fly fishing. And there's a lot of tradition and ritual surrounding it. And I think those rituals and traditions, they're important. But if they stop you from exploring and experimenting, then I think they can be detrimental. Mm. So ritual and tradition is good as your foundation.
Wow.
That's your jumping point. When you have that, you have your groundwork laid down. Hmm. And then from there, what you do with it is the sky, the sky's the limit.
Right. Right. Well, I just want to tell you, Karen, I'm really proud of what you're doing. And keep at it, just do what you want. And that's how history's made. That's how traditions are broken. And I just absolutely love to see what you're doing. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. If someone wanted to get a hold of you, Karen, how would they reach you?
They can contact me on our website, our contact page, www.zenflyfishinggear.com. Or email me directly at zenflyfishinggear@gmail.com. And I love answering questions and brainstorming things with people. So, that's the fun part of it. That's the creative problem-solving piece of it.
Great. Well, we'll put up all those links on our website at remotenopressure.com/blog. And if you are watching this live, congratulations. You saw the very first live interview. We will publish this on our podcast as well here in a few weeks at remotenopressure.com. But if you tuned in to the live, you will catch things that you will probably not catch if you subscribe, because who knows what will happen live. That's the beauty of it. So thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all here in Facebook land for joining us. Well, thank you, Karen, and thank you for listening to the Remote No Pressure podcast. Be sure to check out our website at remotenopressure.com. Sign up for our mailing list. We'd love to stay in touch. Until next time, go fishing.